Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today, the topic of this episode is what is narcissistic abuse? Now, most of you listening probably already have the answer to that. But perhaps this will go a little bit deeper. This episode will go a little bit deeper into the understanding of narcissistic abuse. And also for those of you that are trying to explain it to somebody else, this might be helpful. So we're kind of going back to Narcissistic Abuse 101. I've been working in the field of narcissistic abuse for over 15 years now and have taken so many women and some men too, because narcissistic abuse affects both men and women, through the process of recovery. I've gone through it myself and had no idea what narcissism was when I went through it. This was way back in the late 90s, when there wasn't a lot of information out there about narcissistic abuse. In fact, like most people who go through it, I felt like I was going crazy. And this is the first thing I want to say about narcissistic abuse, is we can often tell or see narcissistic abuse in the victim of abuse. And that's how it was diagnosed for me, as I had a set of symptoms. And these symptoms were symptoms of someone who had been narcissistically abused. The first question that people might have is, well, what is a narcissist? Isn't a narcissist someone who loves themselves too much or just has a big ego? And that's the myth of what a narcissist is. There's a couple different types of narcissist. One we call the overt narcissist, which is the obvious narcissist. He's the one that does have the really big inflated ego. You can spot him a mile away. He's all puffed up and thinks very highly of himself and is often arrogant. And, we might even see him as the arrogant asshole. He's pretty easy to spot. The overt, obvious narcissist is usually not the problem, because the majority of people who get involved, women, let's just say women, who get involved with these arrogant, obvious narcissists usually can see it right away. A lot of women won't even get involved with somebody like that. They'll just say, what an arrogant asshole, you know? So they're not even going to get involved with somebody like that. It's the covert narcissist that's usually our problem. I had somebody interview me once about covert narcissism. And I said, you know, covert narcissism is usually what we're dealing with most people that have been narcissistically abused. And you know, for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to talk about women here, because women represent about 90% of my practice. So I have a lot of experience with women, and I am a woman. Yes, men get narcissistically abused too, and I do work with men. So please know that I'm not excluding men when I talk about women going through this kind of abuse. The covert male narcissist is very charming. He's very charismatic. He may be very successful. He can come on very strong. He can be very attentive. He can seem to be very loving and romantic. And the majority of women that are on the receiving end of this type of what we call love bombing, which is when someone comes on so strongly with so much romance and love and attention and flowers and phone calls and text messages, and the attention is mind-blowing. And a lot of us are hungry for that kind of attention, you know. They can be really good listeners in the beginning. Maybe we haven't been heard for a while. Maybe we haven't had anybody really listen to us. They can listen to us tell our stories, tell what we've gone through, share our experiences, share our vulnerabilities, which makes us feel closer to someone like this. We feel connected, we feel heard, we feel understood in the beginning. What we don't realize is this is an information gathering time for that covert narcissist. That covert narcissist is gathering information about us that can be used to control, manipulate, and shame us. So, to our surprise, later on down the road, after the honeymoon period is over, the things that we've said in trust of this person comes back to haunt us. And we are slowly deteriorated because we want to believe that these people, these men that came on so strong, that are so charming and charismatic and nice guys and loving and attentive, that that's the real person. So we keep waiting for him to return. We keep waiting for that fabulous guy to return. What we see is a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality. So sometimes we do see the return of Dr. Jekyll. And sometimes we see Mr. Hyde. So the covert narcissist really is a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality. And that would be true for an overt narcissist too. Is that an overt narcissist can be overtly wonderful as well, charming, charismatic, and all that. Donald Trump is a good example of an overt narcissist. Most people already know that, whether you're a fan or not. Most people can see that overt narcissism in Donald Trump. Of course, he's gotten a lot of women in his life that are seduced by his money, his wealth, his power, things like that. So it's not that women don't fall for these overt narcissists. They fall for maybe what they offer them. We can really get deeply connected to the covert narcissist and really bond with them in a very deep way. And this, of course, is the goal of the narcissist, is to get us to bond with them, to connect with them, to become emotionally attached. And then we become a source of supply for them. And the supply I'm talking about, when I say source of supply, it's that adoration, the admiration, the love, the attention, the praise. Someone who sees them as good, as amazing, as loving. They really want to be seen as good people. And that dark side, that Mr. Hyde, which is really a bully, someone who uses the things that we share in confidence and our own vulnerability against us. Someone who is so out of touch with their own shadow, that dark side within the self, that those parts of ourself that's hidden away, in our subconscious mind. This is one thing about narcissists, is they're completely unaware of their own dark side. They don't see it. So what do? They project it onto their nearest and dearest. So the women who are getting involved with narcissistic men end up receiving all the dark projections. The whole Mr. Hyde persona gets projected onto the partner. And she starts to question and doubt herself. Because most of us are somewhat self-reflective. We're able to look at ourselves, and we might see that some of that is true. Maybe we are a little insecure. Maybe we are a little bit jealous. Maybe we are a little bit clingy or needy or whatever it is that we're being accused of. So we end up owning these projections. And what happens when we take on the projections of the narcissist, which is taking their shadow on, taking the darkness within them that they have not owned, that they've disowned and projected, is that we become heavier and heavier and heavier. We fall under the weight of this darkness. Everything ends up being our fault. That person, that narcissist, doesn't take any personal responsibility or accountability for his actions or behavior. Even if he does something really horrible, he doesn't own it. You made me do it. It's your fault. If you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. And we're talking about things like cheating, for example. I wouldn't have cheated if you weren't so jealous and possessive. And of course, you're not the one that's jealous and possessive. He is. But he has projected that onto you because he can't see. He's blind to his own shadow. It's almost as if when Mr. Hyde, that part of the personality, comes out, he disappears. He just doesn't have that access to that part of himself. He can't see it. Big blind spot. And we all have blind spots. It's just that the blind spot of the narcissist is pretty severe. It's a big blind spot. It's a whole personality worth of blind spot. So what we do when we get in these relationships is we slowly deteriorate out of confusion, out of believing things about ourselves that really aren't true, the erosion of our self-esteem, our self-worth. We might begin to isolate from friends and family. And that narcissist may attack our friends and family, may find fault with them. And so we might step back from them as a result, because that narcissist is threatened by people that could be a support to us. He doesn't want you to have that support because that threatens his control over you. And the end result of narcissistic abuse is post-traumatic stress disorder. And we also call the variety of post-traumatic stress disorder that victims of narcissistic abuse have as complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It's called complex post-traumatic stress disorder because complex is a result of many traumas, not just one, an accumulation of trauma. And that accumulation of trauma may have started in childhood, and you may have been traumatized in past relationships. You may have a pattern of getting involved in these narcissistic or abusive relationships. A lot of people come to work with me to break their patterns, and I have also had to break a pattern of getting involved with abusive people and with narcissists. I had a pattern of attracting narcissists. So we have to look at ourselves. We have to look at our own role and what's going on within ourselves to truly heal, because most of us do have some kind of pattern. And it's our patterns also that cause us to keep going back, returning, either to the same narcissist or another one. And so we have to break our pattern in order to set ourselves free, to become free of this nightmare dynamic. That's exactly what it is. It's a nightmare. You end up walking on eggshells all the time. You end up being highly nervous, agitated, highly anxious. You may have panic attacks. And these are the post-traumatic stress symptoms. Some of the post-traumatic stress symptoms, which also is referred to by many as narcissistic abuse syndrome. Narcissistic abuse syndrome is the post-traumatic stress symptoms derived from being in relationship with a narcissist. And it might not always be being in an intimate relationship. It could be a business relationship. It could be a family relationship. It could be a friendship. It seems that the intimate relationships go deeper. Those seem to be the most traumatic in my experience. But the symptoms include obsessing about the narcissist and or the new source of supply, ruminating about what happened, having extreme anxiety, panic attacks, flashbacks, agoraphobia or isolation. There's a tendency to hole up in one's home, to isolate, to withdraw socially. There's a fear of running into the narcissist. There may be a loss of appetite, insomnia, suicidal ideation, depression, lack of energy, inability to function. A lot of people I've worked with have lost their jobs because they couldn't function. There might be nightmares, a loss of interest in activities you were once interested in, self-doubt, lack of self-worth. There could be drug and alcohol abuse, a lot of self-blaming and shaming. And there can be a lot of blaming and shaming of others as well. That projection can happen. And also not feeling supported or understood by friends, family, and even therapists. So being in a narcissistically abusive situation is much like the analogy of being a frog in a pot of water where the heat is turned up ever so slowly that the frog doesn't realize it's cooking until it's too late. When we get involved in these relationships, we often just don't know what hit us until we've already been smashed down, and then we're left shocked and disoriented. And most people, they go into a type of denial because facing the truth is too painful. Facing the truth would mean having to unravel the current reality or belief system that you're living under. And that current reality might be, yeah, he's really a good man. He really does love me. He's just having some issues. He had a hard childhood. He just needs my love and support. So we tell ourselves these things that keep us in that relationship or going back to that relationship or continuing to believe that that person actually loves us and has our best interest at heart. It's easy to close our eyes to the pathology of narcissistic personality disorder. Most people don't understand what it is, and they don't know how to cope with the dynamics. So they form false beliefs about what's happening. And when the lid is finally blown off and the narcissist is exposed, this is when we're usually shocked out of denial, at least initially. Oftentimes these PTSD symptoms happen at this time. You may not really be aware of these symptoms. You might have small amounts of them, but when you wake up, because denial is a bit of a number, it keeps you numb to reality. That's its purpose. It actually does serve a purpose. Shock is the same thing. Is when somebody is in shock, they don't often feel the pain. But there's this abrupt kind of shocking into reality that happens where suddenly you feel everything. It's like the lid comes off, the illusion crashes, and you see the truth. And that truth is often just too much to handle. And we want to go back into denial. We want to go back to sleep. We want to go back into the comfortable belief system that this person really loves us. And that's why we go back into these relationships. We do not want to feel that awful feeling that comes with waking up, where all those PTSD symptoms are in our face. But the thing is we really can't go back to sleep, because the reality is that narcissist can't love you. He has a mental disorder. He's got a serious issue. He has a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality. He has a very dark, dark side. And that gets projected onto you. And that will not stop. That will not change. So any idea or belief that we can change that person, we have to let that go, because it's not going to happen. The only way somebody will ever change is when they take responsibility, 100% responsibility for what's going on inside of them. And they have to face that shadow. And that shadow is just too deep and too dark for most narcissists to ever want to look at it. It's so much easier for them to blame and shame someone else and move on. And they usually have the skills, the charm, the charisma to be able to move on quickly, as you know. So they tend to go from one relationship to the next in search of that narcissistic supply, that adoration, that admiration, that attention. Being seen as amazing, as good. Being loved when they're really not able to give that love back. So we come out of these relationships feeling really cheated, feeling really betrayed. There's a deep betrayal. We come out of these relationships feeling a type of soul rape, that something major has been taken from us. There's often an extreme loss of our vital energy. And that narcissist just sails on as if nothing ever happened. And it's such a painful thing to experience. The good news is there is help. We do recover. We get through this. We move on. But it takes time, because you're dealing with all those PTSD symptoms. You're dealing with self-doubt, you're doubting the situation, you're confused, you have cognitive dissonance, which is conflicting beliefs butting up against each other. Narcissistic abuse is one of the most painful things any of us will ever go through. I've had a client that actually became a heroin addict, and heroin addiction in the world of addictions is one of the most difficult addictions to break, and it takes so many lives because people OD from heroin addiction. So I had this client that was a recovered heroin addict. She had recovered. She had finally, made it through that and come out the other side. And she got involved in a narcissistic relationship, and she said, Kalia, that was harder. Going through narcissistic abuse, recovering from that was harder than heroin. So it's oftentimes the most difficult, painful experience that any of us will ever go through in our lives. But it also can take us to the deepest places within ourselves to really find out who we are. We get to face our own shadow, our own inner demons, and bring them into the light where they don't have that kind of power over us anymore, where they're not taking us into these dark situations anymore. And it's not that we never meet narcissists again. You know, I've attracted narcissists into my life, even after I've been recovered. They just don't stay in my life. When I see the signs, when I see any red flags that say narcissism, I'm out. I'm done. I see it very clearly. And that's what recovery does for us. It doesn't prevent them from coming into our reality because there's so much narcissism in our society, in both men and women. There's so much narcissism in our society. So as we recover, we get to look within ourselves and bring ourselves into the light of awareness, bring all that's hidden in our own shadow. Your recovery can be your greatest gift. It can bring you to your strongest sense of self. It's an opportunity to really learn how to love yourself and how to respect yourself and how to demand respect for yourself. So this can be an opportunity. This recovery process can be an opportunity. Yes, you were victimized by a narcissist. Yes, you were a victim. Yes, but you don't want to remain one. You want to go from being a victim to being empowered. And one thing that keeps people trapped and keeps people stuck and unable to recover is that they need to stay victims. They need to keep focusing on the narcissist and what he did instead of bringing the power back to the self and start exploring what's going on within each one of us, within ourselves, to look at our own fears, to look at our own core wounds. I talk a lot about core wounds. That's a different episode. We have to be willing to withdraw our attention. And of course, the PTSD causes us to obsess and hyperfocus on the other person. So it's a process to bring our attention back to ourselves and our own healing and our own self-exploration and our own self-love. And this is what empowers us. This is what pulls us back, pulls our soul back, pulls our energy back from that narcissist where he no longer has power in our lives. If you are on this journey, it may feel that your life has been ripped to shreds. It may feel that you've lost everything, but there's something within you that is waiting to rise up from the ashes of destruction. Just like that mythical bird, the phoenix, rises up from the ashes. You can be reborn. I want to thank you for listening today, and you can learn more about narcissistic abuse at my website, narcissismfree.com. Have a good day.